Welcome, new and old friends. My name is 242, and today, Two got us 10 stalker/stranger stories. You heard that right, 10 stories over an hour worth. And before we start, please remember to like, subscribe, share, and comment. All these things help the algorithm know others might enjoy these stories as well. Now, with all that being said, turn off your lights. Make sure your doors and windows are locked. Things are about to get spooky. The Neighbor That Stalked Me by Major Presentation 15. For context, I moved into my new house about a year or two ago. I had lived in the area for a year before, but we were evicted due to the owners of our old house wanting to move in. I'm a young female still living with my family, which makes the story even more weird and pedo-y. When you look out my window, you see my fence, then a house. They are up on a small hill, so the fence does not block anything. The first encounter I had with this man was late at night. I was with some friends while all of our parents were out at a party. I will say that me and my friends are old enough to be left at home. We were responsible. We were just relaxing in my room with no lights but music on. We had turned the TV off when we were alone. We heard my dog start barking for a good 10 minutes. We pass this off because she barks at absolutely everything. I'm talking birds on the power line, bugs on the front porch, anything that moves, pretty much. We start hearing weirder noises, like crunching circling the perimeter of my room and scratching on the walls. I kid you not, the moment we started getting scared, the loudest bang I've ever heard started pounding on the glass sliding door. Me and the three others run out of my room to go look at what in the world could be making this much noise. We were greeted by an aggressive dog. This dog was up on the glass, pounding on the door. My dog was scared. She usually doesn't do this, but she backed away behind me into my room with all of her fur up. Then we see it. A man, dressed in all black, standing at the door. We were all standing perfectly still, but I guess my friend's flight response went off, and just as he jumped to lock the door, the man reached for it too. My friend yelled, "What the hell are you doing here? Who are you?" He responded with a simple, "I don't know," and walked off with his dog, who was on a leash. When our parents got back, we told them about him. They asked us why we didn't call them. Truthfully, I know we should have, but I didn't want to ruin my mom's birthday party. I have learned from this. 2 days later, my mom confronts our neighbor, who was mowing the lawn. He said that it was in fact him and that his dog had run into our gate and he got the dog back. He said that he meant to come and talk to her earlier about it, but didn't. I thought it was a normal story until I thought back to that night. The gate that his dog supposedly ran through has a tough clamp that was shut on that night. We had it there so our dog can't get out and so nothing can come in. But you can open it by hand, meaning that this man opened the gate and let himself and his dog in. My theory is that he heard the music stop and didn't see lights from his house, so he decided that he was going to come and, I don't know, rob us? The noise we heard must have been him, scanning the perimeter of my room for 10 minutes before attempting to enter. We filed the police report and nothing happened for a few months until one night. I was in bed, almost asleep, but still getting comfy. I sat up to rearrange my pillows and turned around so I could properly make it comfy when I saw a face outside my window staring back at me. Whoever it was wearing black face covering, and I texted my mom and froze. I heard moving and my mom came and checked. Nothing there. This wasn't just my imagination, as my neighborhood lights are visible from the crack in my curtain. But the face was covered a majority of the light. Ever since then, I have noticed them watching. and whenever I catch them looking, they get from their balcony and leave. I'll catch them in the same spot watching only 5 minutes later. So, dear neighbor who watches me recently, let's never ever meet again. As I put away my clean fluid and wire brushes and prepare to hike back to my campsite, I congratulate myself on saving the National Park Rangers the trouble of erasing all this graffiti vandalism. Although why vandals would hike so far up into these cliffs and scrawl drawings of stick people and prehistoric animals all over the rock face, I'll never know. A Creepy Man Near the School by Cat Butt Squisher. I don't remember a lot of creepy stories because most of them I wouldn't refer to as creepy back then, as I was a naive, fearless child and teenager. But this one got me shaken. I was 17, it was my graduation year, so all my time was devoted into studying and preparing for those exams. After school, I went to additional evening classes on the other side of the city. School ended at 2:30 p.m., courses started about 4 p.m., and end around 7 p.m., so I returned home quite late. Usually I went home with my friend for my additional courses, but this time somehow I ended up alone. I'm a daydreaming type of person, and I usually don't really pay attention to my surroundings, so it was no shock when I bumped into a man while going onto the sidewalk. I said I'm sorry and kept going, but something felt strange. I understood the man didn't respond, so I turned around to see what's wrong. Well, I expected some kind of response like, it's okay, or even, these damn brats these days, you know. So I turned around and saw that he was still standing there, where I had bumped into him. His body was half turned to me, and he silently stared into my eyes. I felt a shiver down my back. I remember that he was young, maybe 20-ish, with blonde, short hair, and he wore a yellow-brown striped pullover and a red scarf. It was early autumn, maybe September, chilly but not quite cold yet. So he stared me in the eyes, then smiled, and slowly turned to me and started approaching, silently. I was naive, maybe, but not stupid to ask if everything was okay with him. Something was definitely not okay. So I turned away and quickly went away from him. But when I looked back, I saw that he was following me and kept staring right in my eyes. So I ran across the street just as the red light turned on, hoping that this strange man will stay back. But he just kept following me on the other side of the road, and he kept staring at me silently all the time. So I ran. It was not some suburb district, but that day, strangely, there was no people around, so nobody really to help. And also, what would I say? Help? Some creep keeps looking at me and walking on the other side of the street? I ran as fast as I could with zero physical ability and a heavy bag full of textbooks on my back. Next traffic light was already near, so I understood that this creep would probably cross the road to my side soon. But the subway was near too. I don't think I've ever ran so fast in my life. When the light went green, I didn't even turn back because I felt the gaze on me. I just ran to the subway and jumped in the first available train. He didn't follow me to the subway, and I've never seen him again. Never told the police too, because he didn't actually do anything. Hell, he didn't even talk to me. I never even heard his voice. This was still one of the most creepy and upsetting encounters I ever had. Tears streamed down my face. I listened to my parents ranting about how I failed to take care of my mentally challenged little brother. They just wouldn't listen when I tried to explain that I didn't know he'd be able to follow me back from the woods like that. Surrounded by time-traveling trader. For context, I live in a pretty rundown part of my city. This happened to me a few months ago, back in July. I was invited to my friend's house for dinner. After I ate and watched a movie with him, I had to go home as it was pretty late. I then realized that I didn't have enough for a ride home, and I was too embarrassed to borrow money from him. No worries, I lived only a few minutes from his house. The rain wasn't that bad, and I had my headphones, so I could listen to my tunes as I walked my broke ass home. So I walked, empty road except for a few cars passing by occasionally. It was comforting. I love these types of walks, very calming and all. Then, suddenly, two dudes come out of a building behind me. Then they tried to huddle close under my umbrella. Sure, seemed harmless. They were older than me and seemed friendly. They started to make small talk that slowly increased to very personal questions about my home life. I'd never seen these guys around town before, so I gave them fake names, fake hobbies, and fake family, so I wouldn't get fucked over if this was some bizarre new scam method.
"Hey, fake name, do you think your mother would miss you if you went missing?"
one of the guys asked me.
"Huh? What the hell are you talking about?"
I replied. They were all still acting buddy-buddy with me, laughing, but I didn't take it as a joke. Call me a pussy, but the way they said that, very casually, fucked me up. I picked up the pace. They followed. Now I ain't about to give these guys a tour to my house. When they started to get creepy with the questions, I got off course and started to go towards the convenience store that was closer, and I knew had people in it.
"Why don't you invite us over to your house for a cup of coffee?"
This dude I had met a few minutes ago, who I barely knew, wanted to come to my house. I was shaken at this point. The whole time we were walking, I only took short glances at them. I mustered up the courage to turn to my left so I could identify him. This dude's face was different. He looked high, drunk. Turned to the right, he smirked, then his face dropped. He then tried to pull out something from his pocket. Fuck that! I swiftly closed my umbrella and ran. I heard them behind me. I ran harder. I looked back and they were gaining on me. I tripped, I slipped, I got up each time. I couldn't feel the muscles in my legs. I ran in and out of alleys to confuse them, to lose them. The rain started to pour even harder. I hid behind a dumpster. I heard them calling my name, so I stayed put for a while. I then came out after I was sure they gave up on the chase. I got to the store after walking a bit, got to the bathroom, and looked at myself, throwing up in there, from adrenaline, maybe because I ran like hell. Sorry for that. I swear the dinner was good. I had cut some bruises, most noticeably a huge gash on my shirt. I realized that dude probably had a knife, and he must have tried to slash at me while I hauled ass. Did what I should have done and called on my friend to drive me home. He thought I got fucked up at the party or had some sort of street brawl. I got home drenched and had the longest shower after that. I never told anyone this story, well, not up until now. I threw away that shirt and my headphones got destroyed. A small price to pay for escaping, I guess. I hope they were drunk or high, and if they were legit going to commit a felony on me, I hope I'm the first and last attempt. I saw my boyfriend looking up wedding bands, so when he was cooking, I told him, "I know what you did." The next thing I knew, I was tied up in the attic and he whispered to me, "You should have never looked in the basement." We weren't alone that night. by overall importance 63. Me and my family live near the Appalachian Mountain Range in Virginia. My father is a very outdoorsy man. Well, I don't totally like all the stuff he does, like camping, but one day he still took me camping. My father was around 45 at the time and was a pretty well-built guy. He was about 6'2 to 6'4 and lifted weights regularly. He had been raised on a farm, so he had always been outdoors. I did go hunting with him a few times, so I knew my way around the woods pretty well. This was supposed to be a hunting trip where we would go hunting during the day, then camp at night. After a day of hiking out to the spot, which took about 2 hours setting up and hunting, we were both ready to fall asleep. My dad likes to whistle when he falls asleep, and it also helps me fall asleep. Right before I fell asleep, I heard a strange sound and woke up. My father was still awake, so I asked him what it was. Since he had grown out outdoors and was always outdoors, he knew how every animal sounded, no matter what the call was. So he told me what it was. Turns out it was a coyote. After that, I fell asleep but was shaken awake by my father after I don't know how long. He had a very panicked look on his face and he said we needed to get out of there. I was confused until I heard it. It was a blood-curdling scream coming from somewhere beyond the tree line, where we couldn't see. I asked my father if we should help them since they sounded like they needed help, but he ignored my question. I kept asking questions about what it was until he looked at me and whispered, "In my 40 years on this earth, I've never heard that noise before." This made me scared since if anyone knew what an animal sounded like, it would be him. Eventually, we packed everything up, and as we went to pack up the tent, we heard the scream again, but this time much closer. I looked towards the tree line and saw a tall figure, maybe 6'9 to 6'11, staring at us. I guess my father saw it too because he grabbed my arm and just said, "Let's go." I was paralyzed with fear at this point, but eventually snapped out of it. I grabbed my bag and followed my father back to the car. It was about a 5-mile walk back. Throughout the first mile, I kept screaming as we went. It was getting closer. If we sped up, it sped up. If we slowed down, it slowed down. Around mile 3, I heard another scream, but this time it was different. It sounded louder, more urgent. My dad must have noticed this too because he started jogging. I tried my best to keep up, but my dad was in peak shape and I wasn't fit. My dad stopped with about a mile to go to catch his breath, but at this point I had no energy and didn't think I could make it. Just as I was thinking that, I heard another scream, but this was way too close. It sounded like it was coming from about 10 feet away and that made my ears ring. This gave me a new boost and I started to sprint to the car. Eventually, I saw the tailgates of the car. My dad had passed me at that moment and opened the passenger door as I jumped in, and he got in the driver's seat. Before I could even process what was happening, he sped off. As I was catching my breath in the car, I heard one final scream. This one was so loud it made my ears ring while in the car. My father didn't even look back, he just sped up. Eventually, we made it back home. We never told our family about this, and sometimes I ask my father what it was, and to this day, he says he doesn't know. I peacefully drifted off to sleep, gingerly cradling my boyfriend's arm. It was the only part of his body I could steal from the scene of the accident, but it was enough to make me feel as if he was laying next to me. There was a creepy guy at my door, by Anonymous. Not sure if the story belongs here, but I've always been creeped out by it. I, a female, was 25 at the time. It was 2018, and I lived with my boyfriend in our hometown. It was a small city that's relatively poor and has some drug problems as there's not much else to do. My boyfriend, now husband, was at his friend's house. It was a Saturday night, and he said he'd be home around 9. He was about 2 towns over, a 20-minute drive. At the time, we lived in a duplex, split upstairs and downstairs. It used to be a big house, converted into a duplex. My cousin actually rented the downstairs apartment, and she was kind of loud. I knew when she was and wasn't home. She wasn't home this night. The way our street was situated, the back of the house on my street and the parallel street all faced a narrow alley, and the driveway were mostly only accessible this way. The downstairs unit had a front porch with a door and a side door. Our upstairs unit had a back door, and it was on top of an outside set of wooden stairs. So anyway, I'm home watching TV alone. I hear someone come up the stairs and knock on the door. It's 8:30. It wouldn't be that unusual for my boyfriend to be home early. Maybe they got bored playing video games, or he just felt like leaving. I usually unlocked the door for him when he came home instead of him using the keys because it was dark and could be a hassle. So I got up and opened the door to someone who was not my boyfriend. It was a pretty thin man wearing 2 big jeans and a hoodie. He had about 4 teeth and was teetering back and forth. I was so shocked considering I was positive it was my boyfriend coming home. And the guy at the door asked me, "Can I use your phone?" Behind him, down the stairs in the alley, I see a big SUV, Ford Explorer type vehicle, just idling, with someone in the driver's seat. I panic and just say, "Yeah, hold on," and then shut and lock the door. I think I was more shocked that it was a stranger at my door and not my boyfriend than anything else. I hid so he couldn't see me through the front door window and froze. Something just was telling me this was not okay. After a few minutes, I hear him start walking down the stairs. I go over to the door and see the car drive away down the alley. I call my boyfriend and tell him, and he says he'll leave. But like I said, it was a 20-minute drive. He was about to leave anyways. After he got home, I calmed down and honestly felt silly. Why not just lend him my phone? Was it really that weird? But then I thought about it more over the next few days. It was 2018. This guy and whoever was driving, between the two of them, neither one of them had a phone. And it wasn't like they were having car troubles. What would they want with a stranger's phone for? They also went down an alley into the backside of a house, up some stairs, to ask for a phone? They didn't go to my cousin's front door downstairs. I would have heard someone on the porch. They did not go to any other houses. I saw them leave the street entirely. Also, why go to a house to ask for a phone when there was no car in the driveway? And of course, our battery-powered security camera was dead at the time. I'm generally not sure what they wanted. If anyone has an idea or think I'm overthinking it, let me know. But, creepy guy at my door, let's not meet again. At 55, I said, "You have a deal," to the devil, who offered me a long life and a good health in exchange for my firstborn child, because my son Johnny was a disgrace. 2 hours later, I was sobbing as I stared into the lifeless eyes of my 35-year-old wife on the bathroom floor of our home while the devil played "Sweet Home Alabama" on his golden fiddle. Still don't know why I wasn't scared. By Just Tanny. I, 36 female, wish this wasn't real. Let me start by saying it's crazy how children are so trusting. Maybe it's just me. When I was 7 years old, my parents and I were living in a basement apartment in the Bronx. The way the apartment was set up had my mother and father's room at one end of a short hall, the bathroom in the middle, and my room on the other end. If you don't know anything about a basement apartment, Just know that it doesn't take much effort to enter one through a window. One very early morning, probably around 7 or 8, I was woken up by a very hard, sharp-like pain on my butt cheek. I got up thinking our cat had gotten into my room and had bitten me, as she liked to nip hard and attack whatever she felt like, toes included. I jumped up looking for her, only to see a grown man sitting on my bed. I remember being upset and asked him why did he pinch me, to which he hushed me and said something about him being thirsty. I remember pulling down my nightgown to cover my butt and asked him if he wanted juice or water. I wasn't scared at all, more surprised and mad that this man pinched my butt hard. He said that he wanted juice, so I left my room and closed my door with him still sitting on my bed. I walked to the kitchen and got him some juice. As I was bringing the cup back to my room, I looked at my parents' door and thought I should wake them up, but I can't remember why I decided against it. I ended up giving the man the cup and he drank the juice. I remember him asking me if I could help him find his friend and him telling me he was lost. I remember that my dad had told me that I wasn't allowed to go outside without him or my mother. They were worried as this was a new neighborhood that we had only moved into maybe 2 weeks earlier. I remember being scared to go outside because I didn't want my parents to be upset with me, so I told him that I had to wake up my parents to ask. I remember he said that it would be real quick because he knew his friend was somewhere in the area and we would find him quickly. I once again said no and told him that I was not allowed to go outside without my parents. So he ended up saying he didn't need my help anymore and that he would find them. He asked me to lock the door behind him, so I walked him out and locked the front door, waving him goodbye. I tried to go back to sleep, but it was too late. I was awake, so I started watching cartoons. While the volume happened to be louder than expected because my mother woke up and asked me, very angrily, why I was awake so early. I told her all about the man who pinched my butt hard, to which she first didn't believe me, as she thought I had a bad dream, but she lifted up my nightgown, and I guess I had a bruise. I will never forget how she got so calm and started smiling at me with a very sweet voice and started to ask me what did he look like, what happened, and if I remember what he was wearing. I told her, to which she left her room for a moment, coming back with my dad. She told me to tell him everything, using the same sweet voice, and I did. I didn't think I was in trouble or anything, and I thought I had made a new friend. After telling them about my new friend, they got dressed and started searching. Well, it didn't take long because he happened to be one of the Super's family members. When I saw him, I immediately shouted at him, "Hey, friend." My parents told me to go inside, which I did. Maybe an hour or so later, my parents came back with McDonald's for me, but they seemed angry. Before the end of that day, my father put a padlock on my door and told me that whenever I go to sleep, to always lock my door, as our kitchen window didn't lock. That's how he got in. Sometime later, I was about 15, I found out the guy was mentally ill and was sent away from the Dominican Republic by his family, so he wouldn't get arrested or something he did out there with another little girl. Yep, but that's it. It still surprised me that I wasn't scared. Please, if you or anyone you know live in a basement, ground-level apartment, or flat, triple-check that all the window locks work and lock your windows up. Daddy told me it was dangerous to go out since I was too young to defend myself against the zombies. He never said the zombies had blue suits and looked like humans.
The Lady at My Door by CC8873.
Back when I lived in the rural Midwest about 10 years ago, I lived in a house right on the highway. My house was right between one town and another, almost right on the county line. Our house had a big circle driveway. If you drove in the driveway, you'd be going straight towards our barn. If you curved right, you'd be pulling into our garage. If you went past the garage, you could circle around in front of the house and pull back out to where you started. Our house had two large double doors in the front, which we rarely used. We always used the door that was inside the garage. One night, it was very late, my doorbell rang. My husband and my three-year-old daughter and I were all asleep. It woke me up and I thought maybe I was dreaming. It rang again. I woke my husband up. He thought I was hearing things until it rang again. It was pretty dark outside, but we have dusk to dawn lights, so most of the driveway was pretty lit up. Unfortunately, you can't really see outside the front doors unless you open the doors and look out. You can open just one at a time, or you can open them both by using two little latch-like things that are in the top and the bottom of one of the doors. My husband gets up and I follow him. He decides he's going to open the door. I want to call the cops, but because we live on the county line, we know it's going to be a while before they can get there. He opened the door to a girl, maybe early 20s. She looks normal except for the fact that she's standing at my door in the middle of the night. I look past her and her car is pulled into my driveway, just off the road, not up to the house, not around the circle. She says she needs to use the phone. She says the car battery died or something. She's not sure, but she can't get it to start. I told my husband, no fucking way. This is how horror movies start, and we offered to call the cops, which would be the county sheriff. She asks over and over, but I'm not letting her in. We tell her we'll call, and she kinda stomps off. We watch her walk back to her car, maybe 50 feet away. I'm a bad judge of distance, sorry. I can see her car, I can see her. I call the cops. They say they'll be there as soon as they can, about 15 minutes. They don't sound very concerned, and at this point, I'm not really either. I mean, it's just a girl. She probably does have a dead battery. She opens the trunk. No light comes on. She rummages around the trunk. Then the driver's side door opens. Out steps a guy. Then the back passenger door opens. Out steps one more guy. They're all rummaging around the trunk. No lights on. I can't hear anything. I can't hear them talking. I can't tell what they're doing. They all get back in the car. Now, at this point, maybe 5 minutes have gone by, and I'm silently praying that the sheriff put his foot on the gas and gets here quick, but I know it's going to be another 10 minutes or so. I just sit there, in the car, lights off, not moving. I can't see them when they are in the car, but I know they're in there. I know they didn't get out of the car and walk past the house, because they would have had to walk right under the dusk of dawn light. I would have seen them. I think I see the driver light a smoke. That part, I'm not sure about. Then I see someone walking towards the car from the right, coming from the direction of the barn. It's a man. I have no idea who this man is. We don't have a neighbor for at least a mile, and he's coming from the back of my property, which ends in a creek. He walks under the dusk to dawn light straight to the car. He doesn't look at the house, he just walks to the car and gets in the back. The car starts up, and they slowly back out of my driveway and head north. The cops arrive about 10 minutes later, and at this point I'm freaking out. They search around, but can't find anything. Ask if we got the license plate, but they were parked too far away. Tell us to call if they come back. Sure, buddy, thanks. My husband goes and gets a shotgun from the shop on our property, and we try to go back to sleep. They never came back. I don't know who those people were. I don't know what they wanted. Creepy people in a car without a dead battery. Let's never, ever meet again. My wife grabbed my arm tightly and said,
Whatever you hear on the other side of that door, do not open it.
The voice coming from the other side sounded exactly like my wife yelling, "Honey, it's not really me in there. Get out now."
Followed home and scared to death by Cheesy Breadstick. This scene happened when I was 21 years old. It was in a small town outside of a huge city in the Midwest. This was 1981. I worked at a fast food place and they stayed open till 3 a.m. My then husband worked for a bowling alley as a manager and he was never off before 2 a.m. I was expecting my first child and business was slow, so I was sent home at about 1 a.m. In the town we lived in, there was a large private girls' college. Women were being warned to lock their car doors because two males were still on the loose that were targeting women around my age. They would sometimes follow them home and attack them or force a woman alone late at night off the road. The men were R-ing and unaligning the women. They had unalived three women by this point. Two of the women were found on deserted roads and one in her apartment. There was no description of the men or what kind of vehicle they drove. I left work, climbed into my car, locked my doors, and started for home. The hairs on the back of my head stood up on end, and my gut feeling told me something was very wrong. I figured out that I was being followed home. I took several turns around town trying to shake the car, but to no avail. The advice given was that if you thought you were being followed, to drive to the police station. We had recently moved to this area, so I had no idea where the police station was. I was terrified, panicked, and I couldn't think of what to do. This was in the days of no cell phones, but there were payphones made in different areas where you could drive up to them, sit in the driver's seat, put your window down, and the payphone had a long enough cord to enable to stay in the car and talk. You still had to deposit money in order to talk, even if you were calling 911. I thought briefly about trying to get to one of those phones, but I was too scared and didn't think I had a coin ready in time before the men could have time to approach me. My parents lived about four streets over from where I lived, so I decided the safest decision was to try and make it to my parents' house. I was still being followed when I got to my parents' home. There was a short block you could go around by my parents, and I went around that block about three times, and every time I did, I honked that horn. You would have thought that laying on the horn would have discouraged these creeps from continuing to follow me, but it had no effect. If anything, they moved in closer behind me. I pulled into their driveway, and these creeps pulled right in behind me, turning their lights off, and I heard their doors open and shut. I was beyond terror at this point. They were out of their cars, one coming up on one side and one on the other. My parents' house was a split level, and you pull up in front of a double car garage. In order to get into the house, you have to either go through the garage door or the front door, and the front door was to the left of the driveway, about two car lengths away, plus a set of steps. I laid on the horn again, and they kept coming. My dad, who is retired military, oftentimes stayed up late at night watching TV. Thank God he did this night. All of a sudden, he turned the porch light on and burst out the front door. He assessed the situation instantly and started yelling at the creeps to get the fuck away from my car, all the while barreling down the steps towards them. At first, they didn't retreat very fast, but they must have thought better. My dad is very big bone and about 6'4". He had a brother that played in college football, and he wore a size 15 triple E shoe. He made it to the front of their car and pounded on the hood of it before they were able to burn rubber reversing out of the driveway. While he was unable to get the license plate because it didn't have a front plate, he was able to describe them and give a make and model to the police. Police told me how fortunate I was that my dad had realized what a dire situation I was in. I still get chills thinking back to that night. I remember it as if it were yesterday. My dad said he thought he heard a car honk more than once, and then he heard me in the driveway. He had just shut off the TV and was heading for bed when I pulled in. Thank God my dad acted so quickly, or I might not be writing this today. This incident has caused me to be hyper-aware of my surroundings, and I never turn into my driveway without making sure I'm not followed. Always be mindful of where you are and don't walk around with your headphones on or a phone pressed to your ear. You never know when it might be an op moment for someone with ill intentions. Know where your local police station is, and if you ever get chills that something is wrong, drive into the police station. The police are more than happy to help you out. It's better to be safe than sorry. The police did capture these creeps about 2 weeks later, and they didn't get a fourth victim. They both were on probation for kidnapping Aryn and serving their time, and decided to unalive their victims to leave no witnesses. My dad is still my hero today, and his quick action prevented me from being the fourth victim. And the color, model, and make of the car my dad described was a description of what they were driving when they were arrested.
Hey, babe. I took Rusty to the vet. He's getting examined right now.
My husband told me over the phone. I dropped the phone and turned to look down at the thing I thought was my cat Rusty only a moment ago, as it stood up on two legs and smiled at me. There were two guys on my balcony with knives. By LBB Box. How are we doing, fans of Let's Not Meet? I'm a huge fan of the subreddit, even though I never got on it, but I think my story is probably worth being on here. Context. I was living in the Fuji Islands back in 2016, and I was 14 at the time. This story happened to my family, but mainly my mom lived it. It was on the 31st of October, and I was at my school for a Halloween-based party, and my parents and little sister had gone to a family friend's Halloween party. So the house was empty. My party finished at 9 a.m. and my dad came to pick me up but dropped off my mom and sister at the house because our security alarm was ringing. Because no one was home, my family obviously called the security company over, and they sent a van with three security guards. My mom opens the house and lets everyone in. They check the whole house and they see no one. My mother checks all the cupboards and under the bed with my little sister, who's only 12 at the time. The security goes outside in the garden and in the basement to check if there's anyone, and it's not an accidental ring. We do not have any pets. My mom turns on all the lights in the living room and the balcony. She starts to open the window and the gate that protects all the windows to get on the balcony. When she looks at the keyhole to put it in, she notices a flip-flop on the floor. She then looks closer and she sees two pairs of legs hiding really close to each other against the wall under the garden sofa. There's a photo on screen to help you with that, guys. My mom yells out of her lungs, "They're on the balcony! They're on the balcony!" The two guys got scared and jumped off the balcony into my garden. One of the guards grabs the guy, but the second intruder jumps on the guard and they run away, jumping over the fence and running into the forest. My mother regrets yelling that if she came down and talked to the security quietly, the guides wouldn't have ran away and probably been caught. My mother is crying, holding my sister to her side and telling her everything will be okay. The security then called the police and they did a report describing the guy and starting a search. The cops were here in a minute since I live 100 meters from the closest police station. The guys who jumped lost a hat, their flip-flops, and they left socks to use as gloves and two knives. Also, one of the thieves legit shit in our garden. Sadly, the guys were never found again, but... 2 weeks later, my mom pulls out of the driveway and looks into the rearview mirror of her car. On the opposite side of our house are two men that she is 90% sure are the same from that night. The short one has a brand new hat that is the same that was lost, and the other guy has brand new flip-flops. When my mom drove away to the police station and got back with the cops, the guys were gone and never seen again. I got home with my dad to my mom and sister crying. My dad was mad he didn't stay, but my mom had drank and could not drive. Luckily, my mom saw them before she opened the window, otherwise, what could have happened? Now, how do these two guys get on the balcony? Well, it's going to sound stupid, but right next to the balcony where the two were hiding, they had these two wooden poles linked with weird planks. It's not for hanging in clothes or whatsoever, but just there. My dad asked the landlord to get rid of it, but the landlord did not want to. To give more about the pole thingy, me at 15, 16 when I was already 601, I could jump and climb onto the balcony because I did it to sneak out of the house to go see my girlfriend at the time. I'm now 21 and live in Australia. Even though I did not live this for myself, it really scared me because I was young, and now that I live alone, I check the entirety of my house and make sure my house is always locked to the point I have locked myself out of my house way too many times. And being a fan of these stories, my parents and sister moved on, but not me. I have been a Catholic all my life and followed all the rules to the letter. Why won't you let me through the gates? In the eyes of the Lord, you are only a filthy heathen who did a lot of trespassing in churches because your baptism wasn't done properly. The Last Tram by Typical Television 9. So this happened years ago, when I was a dumb teenage girl who loved walking the city alone after dark. This took place in Eastern Europe, for context, in a city with a tramway system. On this one night, I sat in a tram station, waiting to catch the last tram home. Three tram stops at this station, two of which went to where I was going. Important info for later. It was around 10 p.m., and as I sat there waiting, lost in thought, I barely registered a man quietly walking up and standing by the shelter. I thought nothing of it, just someone else waiting for the tram, until I started feeling weird. The streets were quiet and dark, and there was no one else in sight. Just me and the sky. And I started wondering why he chose to stand this close to me when he had so much space to avoid dealing with people. I couldn't comprehend anyone wanting to socialize this late at night, given that I'm not a very social person. So I glanced at him, trying not to overthink it. He was a bald-headed, beady-eyed giant, tall and built like a bear, big belly and big arms and legs. I was 5'2 and scrawny, but that wasn't what scared me. It was the fact that he was staring right at me. Unblinking and expressionless, not even attempting to look away or act embarrassed. No, this guy wanted me to feel uncomfortable. I instantly felt weak and shaky, cold shivers down my spine. This was not normal. I realized quickly that I was not in a good situation. I couldn't miss the last tram. Walking home was out of the question. And my phone was almost dead. I was a shy kid and didn't have what it takes to scare this guy away. I knew that, but I had to at least try. I only managed to utter a small, "Hi," trying my best to startle him out of whatever he was thinking. But my attempt failed in the face of his silent, threatening aura. He kept staring, no sign of intent to reply. He was enjoying this. Feeling the panic rise inside me, I told myself to stay calm and think rationally. Maybe he didn't hear me? Minutes passed, his stare continued to burn on my skin, and there was no train in sight. Ignoring him didn't work. So I mustered up the courage to speak once again, this time louder. "What do you want? Stop staring." No answer. He definitely heard me this time. I felt myself starting to get angry. I didn't want to let this guy get to me anymore. I didn't want to continue to give him the satisfaction of watching me squirm nervously and pretend that his behavior didn't bother me. I took a deep breath and forced myself to start thinking. I knew what I couldn't do. I can't fight him off if he makes a move. and there's nothing I can say or do that will get him to stop. I didn't know what his intentions were, but I knew they weren't good. If I tried to walk away, he would probably follow. I could run, but he would most likely catch up to me before I could tire him out, since his legs were much longer than mine. If I managed to somehow lose him, walking home through the dark alleys past the junkies that were always prowling about could land me in an even worse situation. I could pretend to call someone, but he might feel compelled to act much sooner if he felt threatened. So what can I do? The only thing I could realistically be able to do was to try and outsmart him somehow. So I started developing a few plans, depending on which trams show up, trying to confirm whether he was amusing himself and actually waiting for a tram too, or popped over for other, more suspicious reasons, and whether I could get any kind of help. I couldn't let him see where I lived, so if he followed me, I'd have to be prepared to employ whatever strategy available, and for that, I needed to stay rational and aware of my surroundings. While I was still thinking, the first tram showed up. It was one I could have taken home, but this one pulled into the depot right in my neighborhood, forcing me to lead him to my home. I hoped he would board it and leave me be, but he didn't. He kept watching me carefully. I let the tram go, desperately hoping it wasn't the last one to head home. He continued to watch, and I sensed he was quite happy with how things were going. I put up with this for another 15 minutes, trying to focus on another plan of action. I can now pretend that I needed the other tram, the one going to a different area of the city, and just ride to the next station, getting off as soon as possible so I don't end up too far and missing the tram I needed. This tram showed up next. With my heart in my throat, I boarded it and sat down by the door. He got on it too, but he set himself in the back, pretty far from where I was. I let out a sigh of relief, thinking this might still go well. When the tram reached the next station, I got up and out, not looking back and hoping it was all over. But when I stepped on the pavement and watched the tram drive away, I couldn't see him in it. I turned my head slowly and was terrified to see him walking towards me, looking slightly pissed off. He stopped just a few steps away and resumed staring, this time with a clear hint of malice, still in silence. My vision blurred as I fought back tears of despair. He was not going to let me go. The helplessness I felt was unbearable, but I couldn't cry. I couldn't give up. I had to find a way. I had to get home tonight. The prospect of what might happen to me any time now, if I didn't, was becoming too real. My head was full of unanswered questions, regrets, and horror scenarios. I wanted so badly to not have to think anymore, to not have to fight back the tears and stay composed. But I knew this would be his cue to enact whatever fucked up plan he had in mind. I couldn't let that happen. Then I saw the final tram approach, the only one I could take now, and I got on as quickly as my trembling legs would allow me. When I was in, bright lights enveloped me, my mind snapped out of its nightmarish spiral of fear, and allowed me a moment of clarity. I had 3 stops to figure this out. I sat down the front and looked at the driver. He was a frail old man, blissfully unaware of my distress. Getting the driver's attention was a no-go. We passed 1 stop. There was no one else waiting to climb aboard. I turned around, fully expecting to see that psycho had followed me once again, but I did not expect him to be sitting right behind me. He was not taking any chances. He was making sure I wouldn't try anything like last time. I shot him a hateful glare and allowed my anger to overcome my fear. I stood up and purposely walked over to another seat in the middle of the tram car. I wanted to make it clear, I will not put up with this BS any longer. He got up too and slowly walked up to a spot 2 seats behind and diagonal from me, then sat down with the tiniest arrogant grin on his face. Already expecting it, I shot up and stood in the middle of the door instead, determined to keep him on his toes. If I stood right by the doors, he won't have any idea which station I plan to get off at. He remained where he was, convinced that I was bluffing. After all, this really was the last tram. There was nothing else I could possibly do to escape now, he must have reckoned. So my defiance was just a funny act to him. This was my chance. I had to take the risk. It had to work. There were 3 doors in the tram, and they all opened and closed at the same time, and stayed open for around 5 seconds before closing again, if no buttons were pressed or people detected on the threshold. The next stop, the only one left before mine, came into view. The tram slowed to a stop. The door opened. I made no move. 5 long seconds passed. The door started to close. I bolted out and ran for it, reaching for the back door as fast as I could and slammed the button to open it again. My whole body tensed with adrenaline and waited a long, painful second and jumped back in, keeping my head low, holding my breath and crouching behind the nearest seat. I shut my eyes tightly and exhaled slowly while thanking the gods. I didn't believe the button would work, and wishing with all my might for him to have not seen me before I got back in. As I was waiting to hear his footsteps approaching, I pictured him frantically looking for me. Was he still on the tram, face screwed up in anger, head turning like a fat, ugly meerkat? Or was he catching his breath on the pavement of the last station, mad eyes searching the darkness for me? As the tram continued its long journey, banging and clanging in sync with my heartbeat, I dared to smile at myself, imagining his face when he realized he fucked up. Hands on my chest, I did my best to stealthily look around the corner and found no one looking back. I stood up in excitement and threw myself at the foggy back window. There he was, standing alone and victimless on this slowly fading out of sight station, watching me leave him and his vile plans behind. Giving someone the middle finger never felt so good. I made it home and told Noah my story, for fear I'd be admonished for my naivety, but I was safe. I was proud of myself, and I learned my lesson. Creepy stranger, I hope the events of that day taught you to not underestimate girls and prevented you becoming a criminal for the rest of your life. Let's never meet again. I asked my captive if he knew that dolphins behead smaller fish and then pleasure themselves with the decapitated head of their victims. He then became very quiet and refrained from making any more jokes about what a stupid name the dolphin was for a gangster. And with that, our time together is coming to an end. As always, I'd like to thank the writers who let me read their stories this evening. This was a very broad collection of creepy strangers and stalkers coming for you. My least favorite are the ones where you're at home and someone makes it so you no longer feel safe there. And we had a few of those in this collection. Some guys on a balcony, a random guy at your door whose shoe is somehow in your house. It gives me chills just thinking about it. On top of the woman who was pregnant, hanging home, and luckily her father was able to help her. Those men were 100% escalating their crimes, and she wouldn't have made it out alive without her father. Every time I read these stories, I always want to remind you guys, please trust your gut. If it feels off, act weird, be loud, do whatever you have to do to get out of that situation. And if you're in a car, go to a police station if you can. It is better to act the fool and feel foolish and think you overreact in the past than it is to disappear and never be seen again. Now, if you did enjoy this podcast, please remember to follow it for future updates. And if you're on a platform that allows it, please leave me a review as well. If you'd like to get early access and a few other bonuses, I do have Patreon and memberships as well. If you'd like to do a one-time donation, I do have PayPal and Buy Me a Coffee as well. All the links, including the ones to my socials and website, are in the show notes for you guys. But as always, guys,
Thank you for listening. It always has and always will mean the world to me. Sleep tight and don't let 42 bite.